SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
And now we're joined by Shane Zyatnik from the Australian Jewish News. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Amit.
And we'll begin with Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese that confirmed on Wednesday that an aid worker has been killed in an airstrike in Gaza, and he demands accountability for her death.
Yes, so Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said on Wednesday he expressed Australia's, quote, anger and concern to Israeli counterpart Benjamin Netanyahu in an overnight phone call after the death of Australian aid worker Zomi Frankum in Gaza earlier that week.
Let's hear what Prime Minister Anthony Albanese had to say. Here it is.
I expressed Australia's anger and concern at the death of Zomi Frankum. This is completely unacceptable. The Israeli government has accepted responsibility for this, and Prime Minister Netanyahu conveyed his condolences to the family of Zomi Frankum and to Australia as a result of this tragedy.
The IDF said it's looking into the incident in which Frankum was killed along with six others in an errant strike. Albanese said it's completely unacceptable, and he conveyed to Prime Minister Netanyahu in very clear terms that Australians were outraged by this death, and he added he also expressed concern over a possible future ground invasion of Rafah and over the loss of life so far in Gaza. And he also said, I reiterated Australia's condemnation unequivocally of the events of October 7 and of Hamas as a terrorist organisation. Executive Council of Australian Jewry co-CEO Alex Rifkin welcomed the Israeli government's apology for that incident. He said those who voluntarily travel to a war zone to help people in need are heroes, and their deaths are an immense tragedy. And we support the government's call for a thorough and transparent investigation. He added casualties caused by accidental fire are a grim reality of war, especially one involving a ruthless terrorist force that uses unlawful and sinister tactics intended to ensnare the civilian population in the fighting and inflict maximum suffering on non-combatants. He concluded, our community conveys condolences to Ms. Frankum's family and all those affected.
Was this the first time that Prime Minister Anthony Albanese spoke to the Israeli Prime Minister since October 7th?
Yeah, look, that's been raised around the office, and we're not entirely sure. Some people don't recall him making a phone call, but look, the answer is he may have, he may not have. Yeah, if he did, it certainly wasn't publicized at all or put out there.
Okay, what else can you tell us, Shane? What else is making headlines this week?
Yeah, so in Sydney, of course, there's been a few very, very successful and moving rallies for calling for the release of the hostages by the group Together with Israel. They're doing another one soon. It's going to be on April 14. It's going to once again shine a light on the plight of the hostages still in Gaza and to demand their release. One of the organizers, Hagit Ashual, said, as we approach Passover, we feel it's important to echo the timeless call of let my people go and call for the freedom of those unjustly held captive. As it's been for 178 days so far, our hearts ache as 134 individuals still remain separated from their families, forcibly taken from their homes. And she said, it seems the world has turned its gaze elsewhere, but we refuse to let their plight be forgotten. The group was formed soon after October 7, and Together with Israel has organized, like I said, a number of very successful rallies attended by thousands and thousands of people. If people want to go, they can go to events.humanitix.com/letmypeoplego, and then they'll get all the details there.
Moving on to other stories, and a story about an Australian Jew by the name of Arsen Ostrovsky, the CEO of the International Legal Forum, which has filed a complaint against UNRWA. Tell us more.
Yes, so an Australian Olé is at the centre of the first UNRWA-related lawsuit to be filed over the Palestinian Refugee Agency's role in the October 7 Hamas massacre. Arsen Ostrovsky, the CEO of the International Legal Forum, is working with the National Jewish Advocacy Center in the US, which has filed a federal complaint on behalf of a group of survivors of the terrorist attack against UNRWA USA. It's the first lawsuit seeking to provide accountability for UNRWA's involvement in the massacre. And it describes how UNRWA USA, the largest private donor to UNRWA, materially supported terrorism by, quote, knowingly, actively, and systematically operating a terrorist financing scheme in violation of U.S. federal law. Evidence includes the UNRWA staff who participated in the onslaught, UNRWA allowing its facilities to be used for Hamas control and command centers and for shielding Hamas tunnels. Sydney-raised Ostrovsky, who made Aliyah in 2012, said UNRWA has become an inseparable arm of Hamas and a systematic incubator of hate, incitement, and terror. The plaintiffs in the case include survivors who fled for their lives, from terrorist victims, relatives, displaced families, and victims such as Richay Lavie, whose husband Omri Moran was kidnapped by Hamas terrorists after they broke into their home in Kibbutz Nahal Oz.
Okay, thanks. And you can read more about this on this week's edition of the Australian Jewish News. Shane, any positive or good news this week?
Yes, this is a heartwarming story. Of course, the Sahara Desert sand dunes in Morocco are a long way from Sydney's Bondi Beach. Sydney-sider Doron Atmon has been training hard on the latter for the grueling 252-kilometre multi-day marathon called Disables to be held in Morocco later this month, in which he will raise funds for Israelis suffering from PTSD. Spurring him on is the memory of his nephew, Ilay Nachman, murdered by Hamas at the Nova Music Festival on October 7, and his cousin, Rani Tachan, who fell fighting in Gaza. Atmon told the Jewish News he had already been training when he traveled to Israel after his nephew's death. He said, "I contacted my cousin. He's an ultramarathon runner to come and train with me and maybe join me for the marathon. And he said he can't join me because he's going to fight in Gaza. A month later, my cousin was killed." He said Tachan rejoined the IDF despite suffering from PTSD. "So I decided not to stop my running. I decided to carry on like he carried on." Runners tackle their 252 kilometers course mainly on sand in 40 degree heat with a 12 kilogram pack containing essentials on their backs. Atmon said out of 900 people, usually only 30% actually complete the run. That's how tough it is. So to prepare, he's been running hundreds of kilometers each week. Basically, the whole country is in need of support, he said. Mm-hmm. So whatever is possible to give will be very helpful to fight PTSD. And there's a GoFunding site if anyone wants to help out with that.
And that's Doron Atzmon from Sydney, who has been training for a very long 252-kilometer multi-day marathon to be held in Morocco. And this is for raising funds for Israelis suffering from PTSD. Shane, what else is making news?
Yeah, sure. Recently the Australian Jewish funders have returned from a March 10 to 15 mission to Israel with 27 Australian philanthropists who each sought their moment to make a difference. Tracy Olker, the CEO, said, "All we can do is be more mindful about how we show up, and the role of philanthropy can be very profound. We're all asking ourselves the same question. How do I want to show up in this moment for Israel?" Over six intensive days, the group met survivors of over seven bereaved families, IDF reservists, and homeless kibbutzniks. The group also witnessed the massive effort to transfer hundreds of thousands of displaced people in Israel, now in hotel dwellers, into longer-term homes. We want to inspire people to be strategic with their philanthropy, as impactful as possible, Olga said. And one of the lessons we learned was know your lane. For example, if you're already working in trauma, go deeper into that because we need that experience. The Australian Jewish Fund is coordinating with not-for-profits such as the Israel Women's Network and its Lifeline for October 7 Victims of Sexual Atrocities. And in spite of their own dire needs, Olga said during the trip, she noticed Israelis feeling heartache for Australia's Jewish community. Meeting President Isaac Herzog, his first question to the visiting group had been about Jewish Australians and the upsurge of Jew hatred in Australia. Israelis, she said, are extremely conscious through social media and through family connections about what the Jewish diaspora is experiencing as well. So it goes both ways.
Great. Okay, let's finish off with sports, Shane. What's news in sports?
So in futsal, in the last fortnight, 2022 Maccabiah Games Australian teammates Ethan DeMello and Noah Filich represented the Futsal Roos, Australia's men's national futsal team, in the four-team NSDF Futsal Championships in Thailand. Ethan DeMello, 21-year-old, is now a regular in the squad as a winger, and he played in every match, including two wins and two losses, with Australia making it all the way to the final against the host nation and finishing runners-up. For Noah Felick, also 21, it was his Futsal Roos squad debut, and he got his chance to have his first game in the third match, which was a win over Malaysia. They'll remain both of them in the team, and which will next play in the Futsal Asian Cup in just a few weeks' time.
Thanks for the update. Shane Desiatnik from the Australian Jewish News. Thank you so much. Speak to you next week.
Thanks.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.